Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ. Call Cheryl now with your questions about gardening or landscaping at 512-836-0590, pound 590 on your wireless, or toll free 1-877-590-KLBJ.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Wow, chilly out there, man. It was like 57 when I was coming in this morning, but enjoy it while it lasts, because it won't. But good rain last night, too. I hope everybody got some of that. All right, you're listening to the Austin Gardener. As you heard, I'm Cheryl McLaughlin. If you want to join the show, you can call or text 512-836-0590. And we have a caller on the line, so let's go to North Austin. Sam, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about crabgrass on lawn, which is supposed to be St. Augustine, is now completely overtaken in some big areas by crab trees, and crabgrass, and I don't really know what to do with them. What's the alternative? I mean, just pull them out?
Well, pulling is the best.
With chemicals or what?
Well, I think there's some good tools out there that you can stick it down and twist it and it pops right out. You might want to look at some place that sells, you know, gardening tools and see if there's something so you don't break your back out there. There are organic broadleaf weed controls, supposedly, and you wet the plant and you sprinkle it on the leaves. I forget what the ingredient is in there, but it's anything you do like that, though, could also hurt the St. Augustine. So the best thing to do is probably just mow it, keep it mowed so it doesn't go to seed if you can't pull it, and then spiff up your St. Augustine later. Well, typically we'd be fertilizing now with a time-release organic fertilizer, but you'd also be fertilizing your your crabgrass. So so the best thing would be to try to get a good tool that you can pop it out, especially when it's moist, like maybe tomorrow or something.
It's not small area or just sporadic here and there. It's all over. I don't see. I try to find any St. Augustine. It's rarely I can find it. So it's mainly, I would say, 98%, 95%
crabgrass. Yeah, well,
so
that's a problem.
That many crabgrass to pull out, whether by hand or a tool, is a big task. And I was looking for something that I can, for example, spray. I'm told that something like baking soda, it does, kill the grass, crabgrass, but not St. Augustine.
No, that's not true. And baking soda puts a lot of sodium salt in the soil. That's good for fungus issues, not for killing anything. If your St. Augustine is totally gone, you can't even find any of it, are you prepared to resod the front yard?
Well, financially, no.
Yeah.
At this point, so I just keep mowing it.
Well, just mow the crabgrass. Like just mow it. At least it's green and it's there and it's holding the soil in place. Mm-hmm. I would just keep, you know, mow it if it gets too high and you don't want it to go to seed, and then when it gets a little warmer, it may be that your St. Augustine comes out. If it does, yay. If it doesn't, then you have a decision to make. Do you want, you know, to go ahead? If you have full sun, you could go in there and seed with Bermuda, which is very inexpensive to do. Or you could, you know, do wildflower seeds in the fall. Well, actually, you could do a lot of them right now. Just not blue bonnets and Indian blanket and phlox, but you can do all the other ones pretty much right now. So I think you just need to, kind of give it a little bit more time, see if your St. Augustine does come back, and if it doesn't, then we may have to convert that yard to either a meadow or a Bermuda lawn or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I consulted the lawn care. They say we can come up several times each month or so, and treat and kill the weed, and fertilize at the same time, so your St. Augustine comes up and the weed dies.
Yeah, that's not true. That is not true.
Because if they kill this, I'm looking at it now as I'm talking to you. I cannot see even one single leaf of St. Augustine. If they kill that, which St. Augustine they're talking about that's going to come up?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't go that route. I think not spraying your yard with poison is a better idea. I think you just give yourself a little time, mow that if it gets too out of control, and then you're going to have to decide if you know what you can do financially with that yard. And I wish you luck, Sam, but I got some other calls I need to take. But thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, let's go to Lampasas. Hey, Tim, what's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Long-time listener. Love your show. Don't miss a Sunday.
Thank you.
I had two quick questions for you. One's about grass and the other one's about trees. So my yard, I planted some ryegrass and I weed and feeded, and I got this little blue, it's kind of a blue-gray looking, it's pretty short. It doesn't grow very tall, but it's kind of bushy, if that makes sense. And I don't know what to do. I thought the weed and feed would take care of it, but it's kind of taken over and it's choked out that ryegrass. Do you have any idea what that might be or how to get rid of it?
No, but I just want to say the weed and feed is not a good idea ever. Does not do what it's supposed to do. All it is is a pre-emergent for seeds. Right? So any perennial plant will not be affected by it. It's a chemical that builds up in the soil, and it's saying it's going to kill the weeds and fertilize, and it's at the wrong time of year. We don't fertilize, you know, then. So that is one product that I would recommend avoiding. Studies have been done at A&M about... they compared all the chemical fertilizers with the organic ones, and much to their surprise, the time-release organic fertilizers outperformed the chemicals. As to what your little plant is, I do not know just by the description. You might try to identify it by one of those apps like iNaturalist or Picture This. Okay. Something like that, or text me a picture of it to this same number you just called, and I'll see if it is familiar to me.
Okay, I definitely will. And can I ask a question, because I may not be able to get back to the house to get it today. But
yeah, go ahead. What's your tree question?
All right. I got my tree question now. All right, so I have a lot of, I love pecan trees. But they're kind of messy. I've got a long driveway, and I want to plant kind of trees to line the driveway. But, you know, I'm in my 40s. I'd like to see them pretty well developed before I die. So if I plant it, what would be the best? I mean, I thought about red oaks, mm-hmm. And I thought about pecans. What would be your suggestion for a tree to line a driveway?
Well, you want all the same kind of tree. Maybe go with one of the white oaks, like Mexican white oak, or also called Monterey oak. That's a great tree. That'd probably be
good
one of
shade.
My first. Yeah, yeah, beautiful shade tree. A very hardy plant, just gorgeous, really. I'd check that out. That'd be one of my first choices for you.
Ooh, okay, perfect. I will definitely... I'll definitely look into that. And is that a good, I mean, is I'm going to be planting in June is my plan.
If you can irrigate, that's fine.
Okay. But
you will need to water them.
Right.
Hey, I got to go do a break, but you want to hold for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, let me put you on hold. Let's do that break. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back, and let's go back and finish up with Tim. But if y'all want to join the show, 512-836-0590, call or text that number. Okay, Tim, what's up now?
All right, so perfect. Okay, so we're going with the white oaks, Monterey's lawn. During the break, I looked it up, and oh, that's going to be perfect.
Good.
That's just going to be absolutely perfect. I really, really do appreciate it. And, yeah, like I said, I love your show. Oh, and I have the best irrigation system known to man. It comes with about six different legs, and they're little teenage kids, and they love the whole water. We'll probably go with about 10 of them.
Okay, well, good luck with that. Be sure you water deeply enough. Depends on the size of the tree you buy, okay?
All right, I sure will. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, I appreciate it, Tim. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Okay, we have a text here that, and this is a recurring issue. Cheryl, I have noticed that your shows have not been updated to the KLBJ website since November of last year. Will they no longer be available on the website? Love your show. Thanks. Yeah, you know what? This is really beginning to tick me off, but I think we're going to get it handled. So what you have to do is go to the News Radio KLBJ website and go to SoundCloud. Is that what you said? SoundCloud, yes. The new ones are on the SoundCloud. They just haven't linked them to the regular website. Podcasts. I mean, it's just frustrating because I keep getting this question and they keep telling me everything's fine, but definitely you have to go to the SoundCloud and the new shows are on there. So I hope that helps you. They're going to try to get it. My producer's going to try to get them to snap too on that deal. Good morning. Looking for some decent sized Jerusalem sage. Can only find 1 gallons. Any suggestions? Thanks. Well, I don't know where you live or what nurseries are nearby, but you should be able to get 5 gallons here before too long, or even 2 gallons. It's just as it warms up, you get more availability on some of these plants. So I would just keep looking at, and I don't, if you tell me where you are, I can maybe suggest a nursery near you. But you want to go to a place that's like a locally owned nursery. And they're all over the place here. We're so lucky. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Hey, Bo, how's it going? Can you pop Bo up? Bo, are you there? Where's Bo? Bo? I'm going to put him on hold, see if you can get him on. Okay, here's another text. And by the way, we also have a long-distance line, which is 877-590-5525. That's 877-590-5525. Is he on now? Okay. Hello, Bo. Still not getting him. Bo? What's going on? He calls all the time. Bo? Bo? I'll let you figure it out. Should I keep him on hold? Okay, we're having a little technical issue right now. I hope that's not going to continue. Okay, here's another text. When will the yellow bells come back? Mine are coming back now. I've already got some new growth on my yellow bells, but they do like it when it's warm. So I wouldn't give up on yours if they haven't come back just yet. But mine is coming back, both of them. Okay. Okay, here's a photo. This is on the leaves of a mystic blue salvia. It appears only on the top of the leaf. The backside of the leaf is still green. Do you know what this is and how do I treat it? Huh. I would have to say that is a little, some kind of a little insect. That's my first inclination. But it could be a teeny bit of fungus, which would surprise me that it wasn't on other leaves. What you want to do is watch for the new growth and see what happens with the new growth. If you keep getting this on the new growth and you're not seeing any insects, then it could be a little fungal problem, which is you can arrest a fungal issue if you need to with potassium bicarbonate. And that would be, but I think we need to get that diagnosed. You might want to take these pictures, send them to the master gardeners. I see I can't really enlarge photos on here and it drives me crazy. Bo, are you there? Oh, come on, man. Bo? I have never had this happen before, or at least not in memory. Would somebody else, let's see if it's a general problem. Can I get one of you texters to call in, even if you don't have a question, just as a test call, 512-836-0590. Somebody call and let's see if this is a general problem or just with Bo's line. I would appreciate that. Okay, here's another text. You talked about seeding Bermuda. Where to buy Bermuda seed and steps to plant them? Lawn prep, seeds per square feet, and how deep? Thanks. Okay, we got a lot of good callers on the line. Put somebody on hold so I can try them. Okay, we're just testing out here. As far as buying Bermuda seed, let me try this line real quick, y'all. Hello? Mike? Okay, man, you're going to have to get this figured out. You may want to call engineering. It looks like we're having an issue, so. Okay. After the break, y'all may as well hang up. It's just not working right now. We got to figure out what's going on. So, but texts are coming in. So 512-836-0590 is a good number to text. And hopefully we'll get the phone call situation figured out here in just a minute. Now, as far as where to buy Bermuda seed, I again would direct you to a locally owned nursery, seed that is harvested in around within 150 miles or so of Austin, if you're in Austin, because you can buy these grass seeds that are advertised on the internet and on these nurseries from far away. However, they don't always do well here, and they're not always the right selection for our area. So I would go to a locally owned nursery or a local feed store. Someplace like, you know, Callahan's or Tractor Supply, someplace like that, and they will have them, and you will have directions for the density of planting on the bag, directions for the prep is basically on any kind of seed soil contact, right? So you want to be sure that you have roughed up the soil, that you have bare patches of soil to broadcast your seed into. This would go for any kind of seed planting, including bluebonnets and wildflowers and other things that you would want to seed. You want good seed soil, and that may mean, you know, weed whacking stuff down to the ground, and just get yourself a good little old spot that does not have growth already in it. So, okay, well, we're just about to go on that news break, and we'll try to figure out what's going on with the phone lines here in just a minute. But now I have a lot of good texts, so when we come back from this break, I'll be addressing more of your texts on the Austin Gardener. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Patience with the phone lines. We'll be back.
Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, well, we're waiting for tech to help us with the phone lines. You know, when you're a talk show host, this is one of those things you have bad dreams about. Every once in a while, I'll have these dreams where, I mean, every obstacle, like I'll be in a strange place and I can't figure out how to work the equipment, or, you know, just on and on and on, or I'm late and I can't, blah, blah, blah. But this, in real life, having your phone lines not work, but thank God we can still get texts, and I have a lot of them. So let's start here. Somebody sent me a download that I cannot open, and it says, a sweet favorite for butterflies and bees. Fills the house with sweetness. Produces small black berries. Recognize it? Well, I could not open that download. So you'll have to send me a photo of that if you want my response. Here's another text that says, are coffee grounds good for native plants and or the vegetable garden? Love your show. Thank you. Yeah, they actually are. And you can just put them in your compost pile, too, if you want to. But their approximate analysis can be something like a 2-3-6 and has an acid pH. So, yeah, it really, you know, vegetables especially, native plants don't need acidity here if they're native here. But vegetables can always use a little break, and also plants that are not native that we always say, oh, we'll use rainwater, that prefer an acid soil. So that's what I would use it for. But yeah, they don't hurt anything. I mean, 20 to 80 pounds per 1,000 square feet would be an application rate. So this is really talking mostly about great big old gardens. Let's see here. I called twice, it answers, but then it just goes blank even when the host tries to talk to me. Yeah, we're trying to figure this out. Okay. Here. Let's see here. Is it too late to plant bulb plants, specifically elephant ears? No. It's not too late to plant elephant ears, and it's not too late to plant. It's just actually getting to the point to plant things like caladiums. Irises, for instance, are blooming. Some have already finished blooming, but with bulbs like irises, you want to let the leaves yellow back down to let the nutrition flow back down into the bulb before you replant them, if you need to replant them. But things like elephant ears, that you can go ahead and plant now. Okay, here's another text. What are your favorite flowering perennials for this area? Greg in Cedar Park. Oh my gosh, Greg. There's so many flowering perennials that I just love. One of my favorites, and one my daughter has in her yard, and I was over there yesterday. She planted this really pretty garden. The Henry Duhlberg Mealy Blue Sage. It is just unbeatable. And, of course, Pavonia, Now, the Pavonia, the pink Pavonia, hers was in full bloom yesterday. And just near that Henry Duhlberg sage, that blue and that pink together is just stunning. All of her Salvia greggiis were blooming, or the autumn sage. That's probably my favorite of all the plants. And it comes in so many different colors now. Her big white ones were blooming. Her deep red ones were blooming. Gosh, what else? I mean, she had Hymenoxus daisies, Blackfoot daisies. They're all Coreopsis, wine cup was blooming, all of these. If you want, you should go to Hill Country Water Gardens, because you're right by them if you're in Cedar Park. And they know what they're doing over there. They have all the right perennials. You can also go to the growgreen.org website. And they have, so many beautiful perennials in there. I don't even have time to name them all. Okay, here's another text. Good morning, Cheryl. I have several large desert roses. Are these low temperatures in the morning going to hurt them? I don't think so. I don't think so. It's not like we're getting by near freezing. I think they should be okay. Just, you know, some of these plants, we just need them to be exposed to these little bit lower temperatures. It's wonderful, isn't it? Okay, Tim from Lampasas here. Just tried calling to help you check your phone system, and it just keeps ringing. Thanks again for all your help. I will send a picture of the weed / ground covering I'm questioning in the next weeks. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tim, and thank everybody that did try to call in and help us test. We're just waiting for tech support here to help us figure this out. Let's see, here's another text. And by the way, if you want to text, since we can't call right now, 512-836-0590 is the number to use for that. I need to replace my small Zoysia lawn that I believe is dead due to the past two summers of drought and water restrictions. I would like to replace it with a native turf. How traffic friendly are the native lawns, since I have two medium-sized dogs, or would it be best to stay with Zoysia in a full sun area? Well, the native, like thunder turf, those are pretty darn stiff. They're good. But when you have dogs, as you know, Zoysia is probably one of the toughest thing you could put out there for dogs. But dogs are going to run a pattern, usually. That's been my personal experience, in a yard and create pathways, like if they run the fence line and stuff like that, and in which case, probably just putting those areas into mulch instead of trying to grow a plant there would be a better idea. But, you know, if you're going to replace your Zoysia, you need to figure out this water situation. Zoysia, however, after about the third year, it becomes very, very drought resistant. It forms very thick bulb-like roots, but you got to get it through the next couple of years. So I would look at something like Thunder Turf. They have that at the Wildflower Center, and it's available through, you know, seed growers here in Texas, like Native American Seed, for instance. Okay, let's see about this one. Oh, well, just telling me I just called in. There's something going on with the phones. And yep, we're on it. Can you explain any differences between knockout and double knockout roses? Thanks. It's just the form of the bloom. It's a thicker, fluffier type bloom. Man, they have been so pretty this year, have they not? I mean, I like a rose with fragrance, but I'm telling you what, if you just need a landscape rose and you don't care about that fragrance, you cannot beat a knockout rose. They are amazing plants. But yeah, it's sort of like the Altheas. There's a simple Althea flower, and then there's a double Althea flower. I prefer the simpler ones. That's just me. All right, let's get that third break going on. We'll be back shortly.
Welcome to the Austin Gardner with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back, and I'm going to get back to the texts here. Okay, here's one. Should purple fountain grass have come back? I have two clumps with no sign of life. Thank you. That's the problem with purple fountain grass. It is not a reliable perennial. It is gorgeous, and I love it, and it should be used as, just think of it as an annual, you know, just like you might put out some pansies or something. But yeah, purple fountain grass does not always come back. Let's see. Okay. We have these five Italian cypress trees that we have replanted several times. Our expert gardener says we're watering too much for the root system, but these newest ones appear to be dying again. Should we be watering the leaves? Can we water too much? You can see that the second one to the left start to die again. Let's see. These are probably 6 or 7 months old. They were replaced after the freeze of 21. And we think one other time when they all died, they were replaced. You know, I would not go back with these trees. There are other things that do affect these cypress-like trees. They can get this pine tip borer, they call it. It's a borer that kills them. They're very susceptible to spider mites. Yes, you can overwater them. And I'm not an expert on the diseases of these, but if I'd replace these five times, there's no way in on earth I would go back to this plant again. And everybody, you know, wants these straight column cypress trees, but I've just never had that good of luck with them. So, yeah, I don't know exactly what's going on, but you can't overwater them, that's for sure. Okay, help, how can I get rid of nutgrass? If you figure that out, you're going to be a billionaire. It is so hard to get rid of nutgrass. You know, digging it up is really hard because it's got these bulbs. And if one chip of one bulb is left in the soil, it's going to grow again. The best thing you can do is just keep mowing it, not letting it go to seed. But there is no good way to get rid of nutgrass. I mean, if you spray it with Roundup or something, you're going to spray. If it's growing in your regular grass, you're going to kill your regular grass. I mean, Roundup can be swiped across the blades of a plant with a wick applicator or a little sponge paintbrush if you really want to get out there on your hands and knees. And if you do that and do not spray it on the soil, it will stay in the vascular system of the plant that you apply it to. So that might be the best way. I do not know of another way to really get rid of nutgrass, and it drives me crazy, just like all y'all. Okay, let's see here. Hello, love listening to you. Is there any help for my dwarf Italian cypress? I don't know if you can see it all in the photo, but at least half is brown and limbs on the bottom have fallen off. The tip part is still green. Have two of these whose limbs bent over all the way to the ground during ice storms. Thank you for your help and info. Yeah, here's the problem. It's another one of those columnar cypress trees. Once they turn brown like that, they don't come back from that. And they're not. It's not going to put any foliage on the bottom again. So for my money, I think you're going to need to start over, maybe with a different plant. And I'm sorry, but that's just, you know, that's the way it is. Okay, here's another text. Hello, Cheryl. I have a new white rose bush, not a knockout rose. It had aphids on it. I sprayed it with a concoction of Dawn Dish detergent, canola oil, and water. About 5 or so days later, the leaf turned a splotchy yellow, and the rose petals and leaves started to fall off. I have rinsed it off with water. Should I wait a little while before transplanting it into a pot? I'm worried that I've ruined it by using the soap solution. Thank you. Yeah, that's probably was not the best idea. There's other things that we could have sprayed on it for the aphids. Typically, when something has aphids, you'll get predators that come in. But next time with aphids, if you get a very strong nozzle and spray the plant, there, of course, are some solutions that involve oil coating the aphids. But I would not have done this particular concoction. I would have looked for one that was formulated for treating aphids. But anyway, spray the aphids with water. Wait a day or two, spray again. If you can just knock off a lot of them, otherwise they will typically be predated, the aphids will. But in your case, I would wait a little bit. I'm glad you rinsed it off. I think probably a lot of times when we spray things like this on the leaves, it does have a detrimental effect. But it should, if it's alive and the roots are healthy, it should put out new growth. Okay, here's another one. I have a mulberry tree that has brown spots on the leaves and sheds its leaves throughout the summer, assumably because of this disease. Is there anything I can do? Ash in Georgetown. If it has, it sounds like a fungal issue. And there are fungicides. They're commercially prepared fungicides. And there's also potassium bicarbonate, which is an organic treatment for fungus, which you can get at nurseries. And you have to keep it agitated, so it can be a little tricky. But surprisingly, even a milk and water combination, and this can be even dry powdered milk. This is a pretty ancient solution for fungal diseases. You have to spray it more frequently than you would. But if you have one of those little pressure sprayer things, you can, you know, pump up and spray it with that. You can just do milk and water maybe every week or 10 days till you arrest the problem. And when leaves fall down, they need to be removed and discarded because that would be, you know, just reinforcing the problem. Let's see here. See if you can answer that call. Hi, Cheryl. Do the knockout roses help or attract pollinators? Thanks for helping out. I don't know that they do. I mean, they might. I haven't ever seen anything on them. Has anybody else? Because that's just not my experience. They're gorgeous to look at, but they don't have a fragrance or anything. So I don't know if they help pollinators. I just don't know. I don't know why they would, really. Okay, here. We're going to have to go, but I'll answer these off the air. And I appreciate your patience, y'all, today, because it's very frustrating when I cannot take a phone call. But thanks for hanging in there and sending me all these great texts. Enjoy this beautiful weather this week. It's going to be gorgeous, and I will be back next Sunday at 10 a.m. Thank you so much.